There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next hour. Of course, you're a big part of the show. The phone and text hotline, 343-0106. Got my buddy John Sharp from AL.com in studio. We're going to talk to him in just a second. And I wondered, somebody said that I was making fun of the governor again. I was not. I was just saying that it's supposed to be tomorrow, I think, that we get this announcement that Governor Kay Ivey is going to run for re-election, and it's going to come out as a video. She's not holding the pressure because she's on the edge of technology. She's hip like that, and she's going to put out a video. I just was wondering, just an idea, that I think it's going to be a hype reel. I think that, well, we're going to hear... Then... I'm thinking glitter cannons, and she's going to be walking a runway. There she is, coming out, and then like screenshots of great event ribbon cuttings she's done, reading the Dr. Seuss book, signing a contract with a company to build prisons that's not going to get done. I mean, all kind of things in this hype reel that'll be out, and it's just an idea. So I may be wrong, but maybe I just needed to explain myself a little better that I think it's going to be a hype vid, just like all the football hype videos that come out. It will be one released tomorrow for Governor Ivey. Just an idea. I don't know. Now, he stares across the table at me like, you brought me in here and you want me to talk with you after that? It's my buddy John Sharp, AL.com. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah.
You and Dalton did not hear fireworks last night.
No, but...
You were exhausted and asleep.
We were exhausted and asleep. You nailed it.
Now, I live out by South, okay? I could hear the fireworks. Okay, so we know downtown Midtown reports there. I'm out by South. Then Chris said fireworks were indeed being shot in the Loxley area. Tony in Fairhope says fireworks in Fairhope last night. Hal says, I live 2 miles south of the Mobile Airport, and there were fireworks in my neighborhood, and I didn't know why. Fireworks in Ponderosa, neighborhood in Sims. Okay, let me just a second here, because we had a lot to get in, but a second here. Memorial Day, Decoration Day, that was yesterday, is a day to honor our war dead. It is a somber holiday. Now, people go out and have fun. I'm not telling you. I'm going to come to your house and say, you're having fun. Stop doing that. Punk kids, because I think that's who I'm talking to, punk kids. I'm with y'all when it's Independence Day. I'm with y'all when it's New Year's. I love fireworks a lot. You can probably go back through my social media and see the videos of how much I love fireworks. I'm on board. Do not shoot them on Memorial Day, or I'm going to put a foot in your backside. Okay? Stop it. Stop it. Spanish Fort. I'm getting... Garden District. I mean, my text line's going nuts here with the people hearing fireworks. I don't remember hearing that in the past. And maybe I was somewhere else or ignorant to it, but it is wrong on multiple levels. But the most important level is it is a somber holiday to recognize and remember our war dead, and y'all are shooting stinking whistlers and the you know, whatever, the launcher pack. Don't do it. Quit. Okay, there we go. All right, John. I feel better.
Good.
Okay, good. I had to clear that.
Well, my little sliver of Daphne, I did not hear any fireworks.
Okay.
I probably would have woke up.
A respectful group.
I was in such a sleep last night that I probably It would have to be my next-door neighbor who would shoot it off.
Or maybe you have respectful people
right.
that live around you that know better than to shoot off stinking fireworks on Memorial Day.
Right. Well, we're almost to fireworks season. I mean, it's 4th of July right around the corner.
Listen, so. If they did it tonight, that's fine. I don't know where they're getting them. I don't know, if they did that, that's fine. It's just don't do it on Memorial Day.
Right. And
okay?
Don't. I'm in agreement, yeah.
So, that's it. All right. Lot to talk about. First thing up to bat, story you have posted, people can check it out over at AL.com. For Alabama conservatives, toll opposition creates strange political alliances and disputes. This is a great read, y'all. And you're talking about this kind of weird thing that you and I, how much did we ever talk about the bridge? Like
right.
85 hours worth of discussion you and I had about the bridge. But this discussion of tolls and what it is to be conservative and what groups, kind of lay this out for us.
Yeah. So the grassroots, clearly in this area, the grassroots conservative groups that we associate, the Tea Party, for instance, mm-hmm. very much opposed to what we had here with regards to the toll, the $6 one-way across I-10. And pretty much they would be opposed to any toll, I think, at this mm-hmm. point. We see Auditor Jim Ziegler's Facebook page that he set up to block the tolls Facebook page. There's something like 51,000 mm-hmm. followers there. And repeatedly, after every post, you'll see, undoubtedly, a whole bunch of people repeating the same thing, no tolls, over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I think you say 25-cent toll, you'll still get no tolls.
Right.
So
it's absolutist at this point.
Absolutist at this yeah. point, yes. But on the national level, we're talking about President Joe Biden has rolled out a proposal for a $1.7 trillion massive infrastructure plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would be paid for. The only thing I've seen, or the biggest thing I've seen in which it would be paying for it, is an increase in the corporate tax rates, mm-hmm. corporate taxes. The Republicans have countered with their own proposal, something along the lines of $900 billion, I believe, mm-hmm. Somewhere around that amount. And part of the way that they want to pay for it, although they haven't come out exactly and provided a detail listing on how this would be paid, but it would be through user fees.
Called a toll.
And that's called a toll, yes. We could also call it mileage-based fees, which would apply more to the electric vehicle, perhaps.
Okay.
Which seems to be where the trend could be heading, but that's not where things are at right now. So right now, that would be essentially a toll, yes. Republicans, national Republicans in the past, have more aligned towards the user fee philosophy to pay for infrastructure. You use it, you pay for mm-hmm. it. And that's conservative think tanks like the Heritage Foundation.
Fiscally conservative groups have
yes.
been toll friendly.
Exactly. And the reason why I thought about writing about it right now is we got two things going on. We got this national conversation going on with transportation, with mm-hmm. infrastructure, with how are we going to pay for improvements to our highways and our bridges. And then what is infrastructure, obviously, is another story altogether. And then the other thing is the toll story is back here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. We have two Metropolitan Planning Organization meetings coming up. One will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. I believe it's tomorrow. Today's Tuesday, right? So tomorrow's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yep. Yeah, it's a weird
so,
week.
So, yes, it's a weird week. So tomorrow at 10 a.m. will be the Mobile MPO meeting in which they will vote, the Metropolitan Planning Organization. The voting members will vote on whether or not to put this I-10 alternative plan, which would be the truck bridge, which would be paid for by a truck-only toll, whether or not to put that back into their short-term and long-term plans. And the short-term one is the one to keep an eye on. That's the Transportation Improvement Plan. We all remember that from 2 years ago because that's
yeah.
the TIP is exactly what the previous I-10 project was pulled out of in the Eastern Shore MPO and was removed, in which led to Governor Ivey to declare the entire project dead. So we have Mobile County's meeting. They'll be the first ones. They meet this Wednesday, tomorrow, to vote on whether or not to put it back into the plans. And then the week from Wednesday will be the Eastern Shore MPO meeting. And that's going to be an interesting one because that's the same group that pulled the previous I-10 project out of the TIP. They're going to vote. They're going to meet to vote whether or not to put it back into the
TIP. That's when the walls came
TIP.
Down, y'all. That's
exactly. So we got two very newsy things going on here on the national level, on the local level, all involving tolls, all involving transportation financing issues, and just some things to keep an eye on. You know, and there are some strange alliances. There are things that are not just
adding up easily. You know, we sometimes say, well, the Democrats fit over here, the Republicans fit over there. Mm-hmm. That's not going on right now with transportation finance.
Yeah, so, and that's, I want to get into this, the those alliances. But to start off with, so it has been said over time that in Washington, that infrastructure is one of those areas you can get Democrats and Republicans together. Right? I mean, that was one of those places when they would be separate on this. They could all find some way to wet their beak, and it was something that could bring groups together. So you had former President Trump say he was going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, and it didn't get done. Didn't happen. Democrats blocked it. And now you have Democrats in control. Now it's more, but the question is, geez, how much of it's true infrastructure and definition? Because I think if the bill was really old school infrastructure, and progressives make arguments that these things that they're in there that are for infrastructure. But if it was roads and bridges and dang turn lanes and all that kind of stuff, I think they'd get it passed. I think you'd have, you'd see a coming together. But you make this point that it's like the Republicans come out with their counteroffer. It's not that it's no, it's just less. It's like Republicans, we spend less on this. So then you look at groups here. Everybody wants, well, there's some people, I'll get a text, that don't want a bridge. Mm-hmm. But I think most people want a bridge. They just don't going to pay tolls for it. They want the federal government to pay for it. That's Democrats and Republicans down here. That's strange.
Yeah, and there is no, it's very difficult. I mean, well, I quoted a person in my story, basically, and one of my experts I interviewed, he indicated straight up, he said, you know, I guess you can sit there and expect Joe Biden to come down and just pay for the entire amount of the bridge, but that's not sound transportation policy for your state or for your local region, and that just doesn't occur anywhere else. So there has to be a state and local allotment that applies to these projects, and so it's critical for the state. And I think some of the focus right now from the watchdog groups, from the Jim Ziegler's and the Tea Party groups, is that, you know, how's the state going to, you know, what you know, how much state funding are we going to have for this project? And they keep pointing to the Birmingham project, and you know, there's differences between the two. One's a fix, one's a new bridge and bayway. You know, we can get in the weeds onto that, but there is this argument on how is the state handling this, and that's kind of some of the focus here locally, at least on the I-10 project. There is no, I mean, it's very difficult to compare this project to Mobile with one that's going on in Louisiana or one that's going on in Texas. And I did quote an official in Texas that is part of a toll watchdog group over there, and it's kind of interesting. There are some similarities in the oppositions because it's a very conservative group over there in Texas as well. That's butting heads with Governor Abbott, who I don't think anybody would
think he's not conservative.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, there are, I mean, with the toll issue, I think you can find some similarities as far as oppositions. It's not just these conservative toll groups going up against Democratic leadership, although I think you might have some of that in Connecticut. But here in Alabama and Texas and even in Florida, you have some of this going on in South Florida where you have toll opposition and it's being pushed back against the Republican state leaders. So
how much of this is real? How much of this is politics?
Right. Exactly. So with regards to the tolls,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's you know, it's, I mean, here, all I can say is locally that it's very much a, it just, well, Republicans, first off, control the lever on almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the governor's office, we look in Baldwin County, that's where the biggest opposition was at. It's all Republicans that have been elected into office. And so that's, you know, it's kind of, I mean, if you want to compare anything with this opposition, I would compare it almost to the school tax referendum from 2015, where you had, you know, a situation which the Tea Party and the grassroots fought against the local officials in Baldwin County. And I mean, there's no Democrats that are elected in the office. So that, yeah, you're dealing with that.
I wonder how much of the nuance gets lost, though, in this. Because, I mean, you talk about one of your paragraphs, you talk about, you know, Milton Friedman. So a guy like me is like, yeah, Milton Friedman. And you said Milton Friedman was pro-tolls, right?
You use it, you pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a fiscal conservative like I am, that makes sense. At the same time, I'm opposed to tolls. But what I'm opposed to is tolls on current infrastructure. And I said this way back, that if there was an option and you could choose, like I talk about the Florida Turnpike all the time. Mm-hmm. I could go down, you know, go see family down in Miami. I could go take I-95 and go the whole way down and do all that. But I choose to take the Turnpike because I want to get there quicker. I make a choice to pay that money.
Right.
And I think if the Bayway would have been that, I would have been on the other side of it. If they would have said, hey, here's the bridge, and you can choose to pay this big money to go on the bridge, or you can stay in the regular traffic and go through the tunnel like you used to, I'd have been okay with it. But that was the difference in that, that it was existing infrastructure that they were also going to toll to pay for the new infrastructure. Well, so, I mean, there is a new, it's not just toll, not toll. It's like a subtle.
Right. But I'm seeing a lot of no toll, no toll stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And we're talking about the strategy is to start with the bridge first. And then, and this is a three-phase project, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what the future holds for the Bayway. We keep hearing about a stripe, the three stripes on the one ways, and there's a lot of questions about safety. There's a Federal Highway Administration even weighed in on that yet. I mean, there's a lot of questions involved in that. But if we start with the bridge first and it's trucks only, that's kind of where we're at. Could a strategy be piecemeal this thing
in? And so, are they trying to get their hands on, you know, what money's available that has certain shelf life? We'll come back with more of this conversation. Our guest, John Sharp from AL.com. Go to the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 and you can link up his story, read along with us, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Reminder, front page, FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, right there at the top of the stack. Let freedom ring. Chance for you to win over $3,000 worth of goodies. Great sponsors, great items. Get the details on our Facebook page and get registered to win. All right, good to have my buddy back in studio, too, John Sharp with AL.com in studio and talking. Yes, something you and I have talked about so many times, so many hours in the past, as tolls and bridges and all that, and it's back in the mix. And if people weren't listening earlier, bring them back up to speed. It's back in the mix because tomorrow there's a MPO meeting.
Right, MPO meeting. Follow your local news sources for the results of that. Anticipate the I-10 alternative project, the truck toll, to be put back into the long-range and the short-range plan, especially in Mobile. A week from Wednesday will be the Eastern Shore MPO meeting. And that's really one to keep an eye on because that's the same group that was the first group to remove. I don't think Mobile ever really officially removed it. But Eastern Shore removed it.
That's when
it.
All the fireworks
exactly.
went off.
Exactly. The fireworks went off in August of 2019. Oh, how we just forget. There's been so much that's happened since then. But that's what happened that prompted the governor to declare the entire project, a $2.1 billion project, dead. Right now we're on a roughly $725 million alternative project. It's a truck toll project. It would be a truck bridge project. And that's
could it be converted?
Right,
because you mentioned before we went to the break that it could have been piecemeal, and that's why I wonder. You get you establish it as a truck bridge,
exactly,
and start bringing money in that way. You have it, and then eventually that truck bridge fits in with another span.
Yeah, it's a multi-phase project, and the future phases haven't been completely flushed out on what they will include or how they'll be. What they'll look like. I mean, over a period of time, we could be talking over $2.1 billion. I mean, when you talk about a whole new span on the Bayway, and I think one of the things that, that really concerned folks, it was being all done at once as a public-private partnership project. It was considered too big. So does a phased-in approach done over a period of years, does that help address it? Well, if you look at the projections on traffic, and we saw what happened Friday. I mean, I know that's a holiday weekend, but parking lot.
When it's not a holiday weekend. That's the thing.
The projections are not good going long term. So how long do we want to wait on these phases and wrangle over certain financing mechanisms? I mean, so it's all things to consider over a period of time. I mean, but where we're at right now is a truck bridge project, the first phase, and that's what we're looking at for tomorrow.
We're coming right back. More with John Sharp. Check out his story over at AL.com. More on this when we return.
This
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with John Sharp from AL.com. MPO meeting this week. Lots to talk about. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. You know, we always talk about inventory. I want to do that. But also the flip side, Larry, you're looking for vehicles to buy, the cream of the crop.
Absolutely. You know, we'll buy cars, trucks, SUVs. You know, we'll buy motorcycles. We'll buy boats. We just need inventory.
And it's great because you're buying those great vehicles and boats here in our area, but you also have a net that's pretty wide throughout the Southeast.
Absolutely. Well, we go west to Texas and south all the way to Miami, and I guess north to Atlanta.
Well, I can endorse it because y'all found a unicorn for me in my new truck, and you can do it for others for sure. Let's talk about this side of it, financing. How are we looking now in June?
It's really good. It started off great. Matter of fact, we're doing our second finance deal right now for the day, so we're getting June started off great, and we just got a great array of lenders. You know, we got credit unions, banks, finance companies, local lenders, and lenders all throughout the Southeast.
Tell folks how to come find y'all.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmotorcars.com. They can like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Saw a post on Twitter. Somebody, I think David, getting an LCM vehicle as well. It's good stuff. Check them out online and in person. Yeah, the new Sullivan truck, that's where it came from. So John probably thought I wasn't even at work when you pulled up. Like, where's Sean's truck?
Right, yeah. It's been a while, so yeah. I don't know.
So you know what I'm driving anymore. It's been that long. Good to get you back in the studio. And a lot to talk about with this and text and emails coming in on it. But I want to ask you this, because we were talking during the break about this, the trucking angle. So it's almost like people are pushing past the fact that the truckers are going to carry the freight on this bridge. Get the I did there.
Well,
carry the freight.
Yeah.
They're carrying the freight on this, and it's okay because it's not me. I'm not a trucker. I'm not saying, but I mean, people say that. But what do the truckers have to say about this? I mean, that's more cost for them.
Yeah. And there's a story that's posted on AL.com. You might have to search for it. Just type in trucking and tolls. It'll pop right up. But yeah, the trucking industry submitted a four-page letter. Boy, it's an opposition. Let's put it that way in a nutshell. I mean, that's, you know, they came out forceful on their opposition towards this project. Clearly, they support an I-10 project of some sort, but they think, you know, clearly that it shouldn't be just paid for by a truck toll.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the trucking industry, they feel the pain, too, of the congestions on the Bayway. And they're not opposed to paying their fair share. But, you know, when it's just 100% on the trucking industry, that's where they're coming from. And they're very much opposed to it.
And so they are, because I, you know, Politico's have told me, oh, the trucking industry won't mind this if it means that their deliveries get to a place on time or faster, or they can spread that cost out amongst the load that they're carrying. But you said the letters posters that they are not for it,
not for a truck only toll. I mean, you know, that's and they had some questions, and they raised an interesting question: is what kind of, you know, are we talking about all trucks? Or are we just talking about large semi tractor trailers that, you know,
would they say there's a measurement on it?
And
I forget off the top of my head.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know either. But there is a measurement involved, and they question whether or not, you know, that doesn't apply to dump trucks, it doesn't apply to fire trucks, it doesn't apply to a lot of trucks. It's basically applies to semi-tractor trailers. I mean, mm-hmm. That's basically what it applies to. So their concern is it hasn't been totally fleshed out on what type of trucks we're talking about. So they have concerns on that. But I think the most interesting factor, now that if you talk to ALDOT, they'll say that they believe this particular toll would hold constitutional muster. But there is a constitutional question being raised in the state of Rhode Island about a truck-only toll. Now, that issue...
So this has been done up there?
There has been a federal... There is a current federal challenge, a federal court challenge that the American Trucking Association has against the state of Rhode Island. But the state of Rhode Island assessed a truck-only toll to existing roads. This would be a new bridge. So there's kind of a little bit of a difference there. Now, if you talk to ALDOT or the state, they believe that they have... that this would pass constitutional muster. Now, the The Alabama Trucking Association is questioning that. You know, they say, well, you know, this is a violation of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution.
Because the truck, if I remember correctly, the trucks would be forced to use the truck bridge.
Right.
They wouldn't have the option.
Right. They would have to veer off from the Wallace Tunnel and use the truck bridge in order to.
So they're forced into the toll. Back to
exactly.
The,
yeah. And that's they're coming from. They're saying that this is, you know, singling out an industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, not only is it not fair, it's unconstitutional. And so that could be a potential challenge to keep an eye on. They raised in their letter that's been filed with the MPOs that, you know, a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit, would slow this entire project down. And what we also have to keep in mind, too, is that there is a infra grant out there, a grant that Senator Richard Shelby's office was able to acquire for the $2.1 billion project. It's $125 million.
Right.
So it's a pretty sizable grant.
And it goes away,
it
right?
It goes away. If it's not dedicated and utilized by that by a particular time, I have to. My question is whether or not it has to be spent by a particular time, or
just
has to be dedicated and allocated for a particular purpose.
But one of the rubs here is, you know, we can look at it in municipal politics or county or even the state. There'll be federal grant money, right? But you got to match it somehow. Like, you don't want to let the $125 million go, but $125 million is only, because this project's $700-something million.
Right. And I think the $725 million, and I think the match
it's
would,
like, I don't yeah, know there's if it's $125 million, but you got to come up with another $600 million.
That's correct. You know, and I don't think the question is it's a dollar-for-dollar match. It's a grant that, you know, Senator Shelby's office is able to obtain for this particular project, and I think if you talk to a lot of local officials, they feel that's a big deal. You know, if that goes away, you know, what mm-hmm. does that mean for this overall project? I think they look at that as you know, this is dedicated funding from the federal government.
Canary in the coal mine kind
right,
of thing.
For this project, when would we see that again in the future, if ever? And, well, what kind of situation are we stuck with if we do nothing? Remember, that was one of the options way back when, a do-nothing option. That was nobody's recommendation at the time, and that, you know, are we trending in that particular direction is a scary thought for a lot of public officials who hear from constituents about being stuck in traffic too. So I mean, you know, what is the solution? And then when you get into the weeds on transportation finance, you know, when you're stuck in a traffic, basically a parking lot on I-10 on a holiday weekend, I mean, you know, it's
but everyone's the problem solved, but they want it done as a lodging tax. You know what I'm saying? That affects other, like, lodging taxes are always very popular to get passed because it's not affecting the people that live there, right? Oh yeah, raise that lodging tax. We'll get the tourists come through. This truck toll thing is that same kind of idea. And I'm not saying, I understand there's plenty of truckers that work out of here, but the idea is, oh yeah, we'll let the truckers pay for it. You know, not the local trucks going back and forth across the bay, but the over-the-road truckers, let them pay for it. We get something, we don't have to pay for it. Sure, it's like, let them, not my problem, we'll get it built for free.
I've seen a lot of sympathetic comments, though, towards the trucking industry, and people understanding that, you know, there's also
we pay for it.
There's a trickle-down effect here, yes.
Well, it's not magic money. They don't have they're not the federal government.
The cost will be passed on to the consumer, and that's, you know, that's basic economics.
As Supermom says, three lanes on the current Bayway is a scary proposal. I don't even see how that's possible. I would think that will make the weekly wreck situation worse. Now, Supermom, Dalton and I did some in-depth investigation, went online and measured the width of the Bayway and the lanes and all that stuff. It's
nice.
But they're taking the two emergency lanes, using that, but they said they would have pull-offs for, I don't understand how that works, John, maybe you do, but because if you don't have emergency lane dedicated the whole way across, even if you have pull-offs, if everybody's sitting there, how can you get, I mean, maybe there's an explanation to it, but I couldn't figure out how you would get out to service the wreck or the person that ran out of gas.
You raise the question I have, too, as well on that. And, you know, the Federal Highway Administration, how would they look upon that? That's kind of something that we would have to keep an eye on. I'm a little surprised that Aaliyah hasn't weighed in on that.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they might
it's
have
like
some
concerns.
It's
a public safety thing.
It's a public safety issue. And so it's not just the local police departments. It is there's others involved.
Tony says, I agree. The problems are not with the trucks only. It's the idiot drivers, not the professional drivers. This is really unfair. You know, this is kind of part of a discussion that says, is the traffic issue the trucks or is the traffic issue the vehicles? But I think what I'm seeing here is they're trying to find a group to peel out to help pay for infrastructure is what I see.
Well, that, you know, right now that seems to be the case for the truck bridge. I think the truckers are asking, too, how long are we going to be forced to pay this? I mean, we need to know an end date, too, as well. So that's a question that's being raised.
Hal's saying, won't we still have a bottleneck at either end of the bayway and the new bridge that will cause backups like we have now?
Excellent question. I mean, does a truck bridge even alleviate the problem we have now? The issue is the dog leg, kind of, I want to call it that, at the Wallace Tunnel. I mean, vehicles are slowing down as they approach it. It's not just the trucks. It's all cars.
Right. So to me, I mean, they're not going to come out and announce this, but to me, it seems like there's this infra-grant money, okay, that has a shelf life. We got to do something with it to get it. Do we use that to build what we're calling now a truck bridge? This is just not, I don't know, I'm not telling y'all what's fact or anything. I'm just throwing stuff out there that we call this a truck bridge. Down the road, we find a way to allocate other money to build another span. Okay, well, now that just becomes the Mobile River Bridge, the two spans of the bridge, and now that's not a truck bridge. That's the eastbound lanes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that could be the strategy. I don't, you know, I don't have any confirmation one way or the other. All I can report on right now is where we're at, and where we're at is that this particular alternative to the I-10 project that we saw die a couple years ago is this truck only bridge, and that's going to be considered to be put back into the plans. And I'm interested to see what kind of questions will be raised by MPO members. I mean, if it's just let's put it back in, vote it in, and go home, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we'll be in store for some interesting questions that are being raised, if not by Mobile County, certainly by the Eastern Shore MPO.
Mobile's is tomorrow, Eastern Shore's next week.
It's a week from Wednesday. That's correct.
All right. Coming right back, I want to talk before I kick you out of here. John's like, let me leave now. I do want to talk a little bit, another story you have about where we're sitting on this first day of hurricane season, you know, and after last year, kind of what's the story this year going forward, whether it's at county level or federal level. We continue our discussion. John Sharp with AL.com. Be right back.
You've been locked down too long. It's time to escape. Assert your independence. It's time to let freedom ring.
Freedom!
Freedom!
Free man you are!
Let freedom ring!
With the Let Freedom Ring Summer Showcase from FM Talk 106.5. And you could win a grand prize valued over $3,000. Register at one of our partner sponsors for a chance to win a qualifying prize and be entered to win the grand prize, including a 12-foot hammerhead pedal drive kayak from Yellowhammer Fishing Kayaks, shooting supplies and accessories from Styx River Shooting Center, a $300 gift certificate from Lolaville's Pet Grooming Daycare and Pet Hotel, a portable fire pit and pizza oven from Chavis Furniture, and a CBD gift basket from your CBD store of West Mobile, a showcase valued over $3,000. Complete details on our Facebook page and online at FMTalk1065.com. This summer, let freedom ring.
Let freedom ring.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. Paul Feinbaum show in about 11 minutes. Continue our conversation with John Sharp, AL.com. People want to find you on social media. Fastest way, best place.
Yeah, Twitter at JohnSharp99.
All right. Text for plenty here. Ben, how much do maintain speed signs cost to plaster them all over both entrances to the Wallace Tunnel? People don't read, man. They don't read. Brian says, you know, I'm not entirely opposed to a toll on the new bayway, but it would need to be a reasonable amount per vehicle. The toll bridge in Orange Beach is $275 per car plus an additional dollar for every axle over two axles. That's reasonable. One group should not have to pay the entire fee. That's Brian and Fairhope. Let's see here. Once again, this is something that is, the shelf life is, I don't know. On that infra grant, you know, I mean, it's...
I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to say something I don't know, but I don't think it's much longer than a year or two.
Okay. So, but this is what's going to be discussed, like John said, tomorrow for Mobile, MPO Eastern Shore next week.
Mobile tomorrow, and then Eastern Shore MPO 1 week from Wednesday.
Right. Before we wrap up, Another of your stories people can see over at AL.com. New hurricane season, old worries. Alabama cities, counties wait on millions from last year's storms. Still waiting on that Sally and Zeta money?
Yeah, especially Zeta. Some of these counties haven't even put in the reimbursements yet. My understanding is they're still trying to get final clearance from contractors on before they can send their reimbursement stuff back. You got to keep in mind, Zeta wasn't declared a federal disaster until December.
It took forever.
Yeah, took a while. And Clark County, I know, for instance, I talked to them. They're still trying to gather up final amounts before they can send it to FEMA. My understanding is FEMA is really kind of, you know, they're making sure every T is crossed, every I is dotted, and then some. And so that's caused a little bit of a slowdown. Although if you talk to FEMA folks, they say, well, there's nothing out of the ordinary here. This is still going to take about 8 months to over a year before we can process your reimbursement checks. But folks down here are getting a little salty because, yeah, we're on hurricane season.
Yes.
And there are budget issues when you have to pay out of pocket to these contractors. They need the money when they need the money. And like, for instance, the Baldwin County Commission, they took out two lines of credit, total of about $60 million in order to pay the contractors that handled the debris cleanup. You can keep in mind that there was a lot of debris that needed to be cleaned up from Sally over in Baldwin County.
Have you all forgotten that yet? I don't think so. It was piled up.
And it's a budget issue. It's definitely a budget issue for a lot of our communities in this area. And why is that important? Well, that's, you know, if we have another one of these similar storms this year.
Are they going to extend them more credit?
Exactly. I mean, are you going to be able to have credit extended? Will we be dipping into reserves? And if need be, what budget do you take things out of? Are your roads, a paving project, going to get punted because, you know, you have to pay for the bill on the cleanup?
Y'all look at the story. I mean, you run through this. Like, I mean, Foley, $13 million. Gulf Shores, $12.5 million. Daphne, $4 to $5 million. Bay Minette, $1.5 million. I mean,
yeah, Alberta, $750,000. I'm sorry, but they had to take out a loan to finance that. So you're talking about city governments having to take out loans in order to pay for something.
So what's the holdup?
Well, I mean, the FEMA's they got a lot. There's a lot of governments out there that are, you know, with this public assistance that they got to sift through all these.
Well, they got the dang stimulus checks out pretty fast.
Well, and a lot of the FEMA folks also have to go through all the photos that are sent to them. And, you know, I think the story I included in there, an anecdote in which one of them, you know, had to go through, you know, a couple hundred photos of a particular, you know, road, I guess.
Right.
You know, it doesn't something that just happens, you know, snap of the fingers, although apparently in the past it was much quicker. And I think just things get, you know, government, more bureaucracy, and it's just become a little bit more time consuming for FEMA to go through all this. And I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't want to report something that's not true, but, you know, are we talking about a substantial number of extra employees in FEMA? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. You know, that are spending time going through this stuff. So,
we are. Day one, hurricane season 2021.
Day one, hurricane season. It's a beautiful day. Let's hope this continues for a while.
Hey, by the way, Dalton, I don't know if you saw it on the text line, that you're not alone, this idea of the conveyor belt. This was discussed during the news break. John and I and Dalton were talking about it. Dalton's idea for a conveyor belt that would move vehicles, and now somebody on the text line would say you just put everybody on the conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt takes you across the...
We're talking alternative.
I don't
with
know
a capital with an emphasis on alternative transportation modes.
Right? Have you get on there and get out and visit or something as you go across on that? All right, John. As always, man, I appreciate our conversations, and I know that we'll have a lot more too on the municipal side between now and August 24th.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's you know, for folks in Mobile, get ready. We got big elections coming, and there's going to be some big changes on that city council.
Yeah, and that's a prediction that's going to come true.
Right.
I mean, the number of new people that are going to be there. And we haven't had that kind of sea change since it's been over a decade.
Yeah, before my time, certainly.
Yeah,
here, and that was, you know, 8-9 years ago. So, yeah, we're looking at some big changes. Of course, you know, the incumbent mayor's running. He's got two opponents, but these council races.
That's one. But right now, I've been like, it's just kind of every week there's a new name or two drops in these, and it's going to be interesting.
Real interesting. Yeah, it should be. And
You know, new blood is refreshing sometimes. It can be kind of frustrating, or it can be exciting. We'll wait and see which one it is for Mobile.
That's for sure. Man, good to see you in studio.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to be back, and it's good to be out and about.
We'll get you back in here real soon. Definitely. We got to get out of here. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. Remember, let freedom ring. Your chance to win fantastic summertime prizes. Check out the details on the front page of our Facebook page. Just search FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook. All right. For Leanna and Dalton and the whole crew here, I'll see y'all tomorrow.